Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Living a Richer Life, life-changing talk radio, a place where like-minded people from across the country come to listen, share, and learn from topics that deal with their health, wealth, hope, and prosperity. You can participate by sharing your comments or questions from the Richer Life blog page or chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/richerlife, or by using the phone to call in. Let's join the show.
Hello, this is Charlotte Grant Cobb.
And I am Earl Cobb. Welcome to Life Changing Talk Radio.
Tonight, we have another episode of our People Who Inspire Us series.
And as we all know, inspirational people and inspirational thought provides energy and substance to all of our lives. Inspiration awakens us to new possibilities and transforms the way we perceive our own capabilities. Now, during this special series, we will share with you interviews with gifted authors and speakers who have messages that inspire a multitude of people from many walks of life.
Tonight, we are excited to share an interview we recorded earlier this month with Deborah Williamson. Deborah is from the South Side of Chicago. Her debut book, God-Sized Dreams, the story of a little black girl from the South Side of Chicago, chronicles how she navigated through the storms of her life, and it is a testament of the inspiring power of both faith and encouragement.
So let's listen to our interview with Deborah, and then we'll talk some more about the inspiring power of encouragement. Hello, Deborah. Welcome to Life Changing Talk Radio.
Hi, Earl. Thank you so much for having me.
As you know, during this series, we are talking about people who inspire us. And tonight's focus is the inspiring power of encouragement. Now, encouragement sounds like such a small thing, but as many of us know, one kind word of encouragement at the right time can be life-changing. And there are times in our lives when we need emotional encouragement. You know, I'm often reminded of the analogy which states that we all have an emotional tank that works like the tank of a car. And to function properly from day to day, we must find ways to fill that tank and less ways to drain that tank. So, Deborah, in your debut book titled God-Sized Dreams, you are very transparent about your experiences growing up and, as I quote, as a little black girl from the South Side of Chicago. And I found the message in your book's prologue to be very powerful. And throughout the 13 chapters of your book, I can see where your prolific candor and insight can be extremely encouraging to your readers, and not just black women. So let's start our interview with you sharing with our audience the primary message that you're attempting to convey in your new book.
Why, thank you, Earl. My book, I wrote my story. Let me backtrack and just say that my book is an unintended consequence, but I'll probably get into that a little more later. I wrote my story to encourage women everywhere. We've all been in a situation where we may have struggled with self-esteem issues, where we may not have been able to find our voice, that we didn't understand our identity in Christ, and then wanting to be loved so deeply, and then, of course, looking for love in all the wrong places. I think every little black girl in America has been there. And so I wrote my book to encourage women that even though you may feel like you're in a place in your life that you can't seem to get a godly man and you can't seem to get it together, I wanted to encourage them, to remind them that they don't have to erase themselves in order to be able to obtain the love of a godly man. I wrote this book to tell every reader that it's really not about what you do, but rather who you are and who you want to become. I wrote this book to encourage people that God is a dreamer. He is absolutely a dreamer. And when we attempt to dream the dreams that God has established for us, powerful things will begin to take place. I am living proof of that.
Terrific. Now, wow, what was your inspiration for putting this into writing and being willing to share this with others?
Inspiration. It was my husband actually inspired me to write this book. And as I had mentioned a little while ago, this book was an unintended consequence. My husband and I, we have a marriage ministry, and we were planning on writing a book about marriage. And so my husband, I don't know, this must have been divine inspiration, but he said to me, you know, I think we should shelf the book on marriage, and I think you really need to tell your story. And I said, I had to do a Scooby-Doo. I was like, what? And I didn't feel, you know, like there was anything that I had to say that was even relevant that would right. even be meaningful to anyone. So I didn't realize that, and he felt really strongly about this. And truth be told, he was right, because the feedback that I've been receiving has absolutely deeply touched my heart. Women, as well as men, have connected to my story, and they tell me that I hear this all the time now, that I was that little black girl. I went through a similar heartache. I went through a similar tragedy. I had, you know, these things happen to me. And people are really connecting with my story. So my husband, I have to say, I have to give him credit. Although I didn't want to do it, I was gnawing and gnashing my teeth the whole time. I'm actually glad that he persisted and persuaded me to tell my story.
Yeah, because it seems like, in my experiences as well, that when we feel the need to encourage someone, we have to have at least two things. We have to have candor or sincerity, which means you have to be authentic. You know, people can recognize if you're just patting them on the back, or you know, if you're truly wanting to help encourage them to do something. And then the second one, as you mentioned there, is that we sort of have to also think through the message and clearly articulate the message such that the person receiving it can recognize it for what it is. Do you agree with that or have a different take?
Absolutely. Oh, no, absolutely. I absolutely do agree. You know, I live by the adage that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And if you can, if there's something that you can share with a person that uplifts them in any way, that uplifts their spirit, that encourages them, we never know the people that we encounter. We never know where they are emotionally in their lives.
Right.
So
right.
anytime we have an opportunity to encourage people, I think that would be time and energy well spent.
Right. You know, I'm reminded of a recent situation. I was at a grocery store and was checking out, and you know how they have the checkout person and they have someone doing the bagging. There was a young lady there doing the bagging. And, you know, I could just tell she was, you know, nice, and you can tell she was a little quiet. And I was asking the checkout person about the ice. Is your ice solid or is it crushed? And she said, well, I think it's solid. And the young lady said, you want me to get one to see? I said, sure. And she went over, brought the ice back, and I said, okay, that's fine. And then she stood there, and I looked over and said, thank you so much for doing that. And you should have seen the big smile on her face. That may have been the only.
We just get caught up in the busyness of our days, and we don't tend to consider those around us. So the fact that you, and you probably weren't even conscious of the fact that you were doing that, but it really must have meant a lot to her. And that's a good thing. We need to do more of that.
Yeah, and it sort of goes back to, you know, when you're growing up, regardless of where you grew up, right, that the importance of teaching your kids to say, thank you, okay, please, because then it becomes second nature to respond to when people do things. And that kind of discussion, that type of feedback, can naturally be encouraging.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I totally agree.
Now, who do you think at this point in time, in terms of where we are today in our nation and in the 21st century, would benefit the most from reading God-sized dreams and benefit the most from your message?
You know, that's a really good question, Earl. You know, my story is a story of hope, and so it's written for everyone, men, women, young, old, black, white, yellow, orange. You know, from a young age, I felt so insecure in my own skin, and I was a highly sensitive child, and I subsequently, for a long, long period of my life, I struggled with low self-esteem and low self-worth, and in a desperate attempt to counter those negative feelings that I was having, I went out and sought the approval of men. And so when that wasn't provided for me, I felt like a failure. But the truth was, I was far from being a failure. I had not yet learned to love the real me, nor did I fully understand the currency that I possessed in terms of my own value. And so at some point in my journey, I decided that I was going to craft out my own dream. I was tired of being hurt. And you know what they say, when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, that's when you start to affect the change. And so I decided that I was going to start living my own dreams, that I was no longer going to get caught up. I was no longer going to be desperate, looking for love and approval and all of that. And so at some point in my journey, I thought that I was actually living my dream. But it wasn't until much later that I discovered that I was wrong. And so I feel that my message is really important at this time, because we're really living in a time where there is so much fear and we are bombarded by so much negativity. And so because my story is a story of hope, we need to take a step back. We need to unplug from all of the noise, from all of the external noise, and we have to stop and dream. And we're not dreaming because we're too busy worrying. And so I wanted people to know that everything that they want is on the other side of fear. And I want people to know, and this, again, runs across the whole gamut, men, women, old, young, white, yellow, orange, black, that God's dreams are bigger than we could ever hope, dare, or imagine.
Very powerful message. Deborah Williamson, the name of her book is God-Sized Dreams. And we'll have a chance to talk some more, Deborah, the time to speak with me this afternoon and continue to do all of that inspiring work.
Thank you, Earl. My privilege.
Okay. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
And we're so glad to have in our studio tonight with us Deborah Williamson. Deborah, welcome to Life Changing Talk Radio.
Well, thank you again, Earl and Charlotte. I cannot tell you both what an extreme honor this is for me. So thank you for having me again.
Well, thank you for joining us tonight. And we will all learn more about Deborah and her new book, as well as respond to some of your calls. Remember, if you're calling in, I see you out there. You have to hit the button to let me know if you want to say something or talk to Deborah or the host. And also, we're checking our blog posts and our emails. We'll be right back after this message. You are listening to Living a Richer Life, Life-Changing Talk Radio, where like-minded people come to listen, share, and learn. Only on blogtalkradio.com/richerlife. Okay, we're back. Deborah, I thought we'd start our discussion tonight before we take some calls and read some of the emails that I see are coming in already with the following comment and the following question. Now, as we all know, encouragement is the action of giving someone support, or confidence or hope, as you've said. And we also know that there are many different ways that we can offer encouragement. Now, generally, the formula would be similar to what we discussed in our interview. You know, first, we would recognize the person's struggle. Then we would be positive and we would be sincere and we'd attempt to inspire a healthy outlook. Now, Deborah, obviously there were many or at least several ways you could have told your story. But how did you decide on the approach and the level of encouragement that you included in your book?
Wow. Okay, so I guess there are not going to be any easy questions tonight.
tonight.
that's absolutely a fabulous question. You know, in our lifespan, we each have a story to tell. And in order for me to determine just how much of my story I wanted to bake down and share with the world, I had to really give that some careful and deliberate thought. And what I realized was that in order for the goal, which was for me to inspire and encourage and instill hope in women and men, I had to look at this from the perspective about just being a woman and looking at the fact that as a woman, we are a full circle. And because of that, and what I mean by that is because within women, we have the power to create, we have the power to nurture, and we have the power to transform. And, you know, quite frankly, because I am a woman, it's pretty amazing being a woman because God has instilled in us all the essentials that we need in life. And so I looked at if I wanted my book to be nurturing, I had to consider, well, what elements and components of my story would be so relevant that would stir in the hearts of the reader? And I looked at it from the perspective about being a nurturer, the fact that as a woman, we have the power to create life. We have the power to incubate life, and we have the power to deliver that life to the world. And so that is the approach that I kind of took when I looked at exactly what elements of my life I was going to share in my book. I wanted to be a nurturing force, and I wanted to create, and I wanted to incubate it, and then I wanted to get my word and deliver it to the world. So that's kind of like the process that I took.
Very good, very good, Deborah. Thank you so much. And you know, I just wondered, based on the feedback you received since your book has been published, is there anything you would change or add?
Oh, wow. No, I don't think that there's anything that I would change. Because everything that I shared was all true and all truly stated. And so, no, there's nothing that I would change. Now, there are people that are tugging at me now waiting for the sequel because, obviously, you know, in a 13-page book, my story it can't be limited to just the 13 pages. So as I evolve and as I'm in a new season in my life, there is just more of my voice that I'd like to share. So nothing that I would take out, but in the sequel, there'll be more information to come.
Yeah, and of course, our listeners know you meant 13 chapters. It's longer than 13 pages, so it's a very good book. And, you know, Charlotte, we better get started. I don't see anyone raising their hands that are on the lines here, but we better get started and see if we can get to as many of the emails and the Facebook comments. And here's one that really goes right to the question that you just asked and that Barbara just gave an answer to. It's from Karen on Facebook. She writes, "Deborah, I purchased a copy of your book and just could not put it down. I have given it to my teenage daughter," and she has ... "I hope she reads it. My question is, who gave you the most encouragement following the terrible tragedy you describe in the first part of your book?"
Wow, Karen, thank you for that question. My mother, who has been a constant voice in my life, she gave me the most encouragement. She was there to do what a mother does, to nurture, to love, to encourage me not to give up, to encourage me not to beat myself up, and to remind me that I hadn't done anything wrong. So she was the person who spoke life into me, and I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that my mother was there for me then, just as she's here for me now. So it was my mom.
Very good. And for those of you who are wondering about the tragedy, Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble are waiting for you.
Very good. Earl and Deborah, I'd like to read a question from Sherry from our blog post because it seems to be linked to Karen's question in some ways. Sherry says, I'm a high school teacher, and I'm very concerned about the young girls in my classrooms where I see that their low self-esteem seems to result in acting out and making bad choices. Is there some way that a teacher may have encouraged you differently when you were in a high school age?
Oh, wow. There were several teachers that had a big influence on my life, but there was one that I write about in my book. And my roots go back into Catholicism. So I went to Catholic schools, and all through elementary school, I went to Catholic all-girls high school. But there was a teacher that I had. Her name was Sister Dolorosa. And to me, she was simply a force of nature. And she helped me. She really helped me in the area of my self-esteem, because what I learned from Sister Dolorosa was that nobody can make you feel inferior without your consent. And that this is so true, because instead of placing, you know, how we feel and placing the blame on someone else for making us feel a certain kind of way, we have to take responsibility because we have allowed them to make us feel that way. And so, and this isn't just true for feelings of inferiority, but for any negative feeling or any sad feeling. And I get that in the culture that we're living in now, especially with our young people in school, high school, and elementary school, we're living in a very hypersexual environment. There's just so much of that on television, and the music that they listen to, you know, on the programming that they watch. And so we have to learn whose we are, and we have to learn our true identity, and we have to we cannot allow anyone to instill in us feelings that we are inferior and that we're not valuable enough or something like that, because nobody is in control of how you feel, and others can't bring you down unless you let them.
Right.
Right.
You know, it's interesting. I've always been fascinated by that word "we." You know, I've got a like a brother who, you know, very philosophical, and he gets into these discussions sometime, and he'll go, "We should do this and we should do that," you know. And I think about that word "we" in terms of, does that mean our society? If all of our society does that, would that make all of us more encouraged and inspirational? I think about back on just, a few weeks ago or a couple of months ago now, time really passes, about that school situation down in Florida, okay, the shooting and killing, and how those kids got together and ramped up and the march to Washington, the show in Washington. And, you know, you can't read everything, believe everything you can read anymore, but it just seems like there were so many adults, well-educated adults, right, who seem to want to discourage the kids from doing things, you know, and create just the opposite of an inspiring or an encouraging environment. So when you talk about that "we" in your book, who is that "we" that you are really targeting?
Wow. You know, that "we" is the collective, I think, Earl. I think my best answer is that the "we" is the collective. I mean, we as a human race, because what we have to recognize is that we each have the power to be the best version of ourselves that we can be. And just as we saw with those students in Florida, they have found their voice and they want to be heard because they want to create a better world. And so being the best version of yourself, it takes effort and it takes a deliberate attempt to do that. And so drawing strength from watching these young minds stand up to be heard and them picking and choosing, because maybe I should frame it this way. It's not that they've broken any rules, because if you obey all the rules, then you'll miss all of the fun. And what I think that means is, and that was something Katharine Hepburn used to say all the time, what I think is that these children have found a way to raise their voices to be heard, and now that they have found their voices, they're not going to be silenced. And their goal is to create a better world for the collective, for all of us. You know, I have a young daughter. She's 20 years old. My sisters have young daughters. And we are trying to train up our young daughters to be the best versions of themselves so that they can affect a change in this world. And so that's probably a long-winded answer for that question. But I think that whole – that we is the collective, and we have to band together right. so that we can be the best versions of ourselves so we can create a better world.
Right, and Charlotte, we're not going to be able to get to very many more of, and I apologize to, we will get back with everyone individually, okay, if we don't get you on there, but I see two men, at least men names, so let me get one of them in. Jack on Facebook says, are women better at encouraging than men? My wife seems to think so.
And your wife is right, Jack.
Your wife is absolutely right.
Is it better or just a different way? Yeah.
Well, you know, I think it's by design. And let me just qualify this, because God was very intentional the way He designed male and females. The fact that our differences are what brings us together, and that's what makes us comparable for one another. But so God created men to be, you know, these warriors. They are the kings, the priests, the prophets. They are the ones that go out and they slay the dragon. And so because of that, so imagine this: if a man has to go out and slay the dragon, and let's say this man rolls up on Bambi's little deer or doe, and if the man starts crying, oh my God, I can't kill Bambi's kid. And then what am I going to do? I can't bring food home for my family tonight. That's not the way God designed him. Bambi's doe would have to die so that man could come home and feed his family. And so that is the way that God has wired men. And so correspondingly, as women, we have been given the gift of empathy. And so because we can empathize and we can take on and understand, you know, how other women are feeling, it puts us in a unique position to be able to encourage and be better encouragers. Not to say that men can't do it, but ideally they're just not really wired to do it.
Right. Okay, Jack. I'll go along with that. Hopefully you go along with that. Charlotte, I can't believe that we are less than 2 minutes away from using all of our time tonight.
I know. Yes, we are. Deborah, you were just absolutely wonderful and I think inspiring and thought-provoking. Thank you so much for joining us here live tonight.
I can't tell you both, Charlotte and Earl, what a high honor this is for me. And I thank you for giving me this platform and allowing me to share my story. I just hope that it has blessed some. And like Earl said, if you want to know about all of the things that this little black girl has gone through, the book is God-Sized Dreams, the story of a little black girl from the south side of Chicago, available at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or anywhere you can buy books online.
Excellent. Well, I tell you what, I appreciate everyone who joined us and who tuned in into Life Changing Talk Radio tonight.
And I would like to also remind all of our listeners that a word of encouragement during a failure is worth more than an hour of praise after success. And don't forget to join us again next Thursday night, because we'll present two of those special people who we just love because they have such a way of inspiring us.
You've been listening to Living a Richer Life with Earl and Dr. Charlotte Grant Cobb. Thank you for joining us this evening, and we'll look forward to having you back again the same time next Thursday.